Article 6 is capital contributions. The question is, how much money, how much property are you putting into the deal, and what does that buy you in ownership of this company? And on the flip side, it also controls what happens if you take money out of the LLC. The first section, 6.1, shows the ownership of each one of the members based upon their capital contributions. And in theory, both John and Joseph have put in an equal amount of money, so it's a 50-50 deal. One of them could have actually put up money, the other one could have done all the work, and we still could have had a 50-50 deal. As I said earlier, the one that did the work may have to pay income tax on the value of the stock or the membership interests that he's getting, but he can do that and get a 50-50 cut. And it's not unusual to have a silent financing partner and then the active partner who actually does the business. 50-50 is always a problem. It's just plain hard to deal with. I've seen 50-50 partners in an LLC or a corporation in years of litigation. The operating agreement or the bylaws are written so that there has to be a unanimous vote. Well, we ain't getting a unanimous vote. Now what do we do? Well, you sue each other to death. If in any way you think that there might be a divorce between you and your business partner, and that could be a figurative divorce or a literal divorce, then you need to make sure that your deal isn't a 50-50 deal. You need to at least give somebody a 1% so that they can break a tie between the two of you. And by the way, there's a little note here. If one of the 50-50 partners happens to lose their interest because they get sued, a creditor gets their interest somehow. And yeah, I know they have to get the charging order, but if you do get my interest and we're 50-50 partners, you might note that the court will usually assign a 51% interest to the creditor so that you don't have the control over your company anymore. If the court's going to go far enough to take the interest away from one of the members, they're going to make sure that that member now controls if this is a 50-50 deal. So you might just put that in the back of your mind and try and prevent a 50-50. Let's have a third person in there somehow. The next section is 6.2, allocation of profits and losses. You might note that this is one of those where you've got two choices. In the first choice, we're going to divide everything up based upon the percentage interest as shown in the capital contributions. In the second one, the allocation of profits and losses is going to be made by the managers based upon their discretion. That's okay. As long as it's me and Sweetie or Hubby, then we're fine. We can divide up profits and losses as we wish. However, if you've got a bunch of partners, you may not trust them all, or if there's a possibility that you're going to get into trouble, then you want it so that the allocation has to be based upon percentage of capital contributions. That way, there's no weasel room. And by the way, I'd probably, if it were me and Hubby and Sweetie, pick the second one. And then if it looked like I was going to get into trouble, I would go back and amend my operating agreement so that it was the first one, based upon percentage. Can you see how we can do some damage control if you actually get into trouble, and yet we can have a lot of flexibility during the good years of your LLC, and hopefully all of your years in the LLC are good years. But we've got to have a contingency plan to take care of a problem if one arises. And by the way, the flexibility of being able to allocate profits and losses is a big deal because you can move money to family members who need help in a period when they need help, even though they don't own a great chunk of the LLC. That's going to depend upon how the LLC is taxed, but you can get a great deal of flexibility by combining the ability of the manager to distribute stuff and having the proper taxation structure. This is all discussed in Course 3 of the LLC Wizard. 6.3 says that the members can require additional capital contributions. Now, each member is going to make an equal contribution based upon their percentage interest, so the percentages aren't going to increase or decrease. However, if one of the members doesn't make the contribution, then the other members are going to have the right to stand in on a pro rata basis, make contributions, and their percentage interest could go up relative to the defaulting or the non-contributing partner's interest. 6.4, 5, and 6 are basically housekeeping provisions that say that the members can't just demand their money back and they don't have any claim on the company's property. They're members, they're owners. They don't have claim on the company's property. 6.7 basically says that the most that a member can lose is what he's got invested in the deal. That's provided, of course, that all of the formalities have been followed and everything's okay and they can't pierce the corporate shield and so on and so forth. But we're going to assume that you've done it all right. 6.8 says if the deal does blow up, then all of the members are going to stand in line as equals to get any of the spoils that are left over in the company. 6.9 talks about the distribution of profits. And we hope that there are just a ton of profits in your little LLC. However, the facts are most companies are not profitable. So the downside terms of the operating agreement are usually more important than the upside terms of the operating agreement. Because if there's lots of money, everybody's happy. If there's no money, then we've got people who are not happy. That's when you get sued. That's when you have the problems. Note that the net operating profits are defined in this section, and the members are going to get a distribution dividend for tax purposes. But the manager can determine whether or not any money is actually paid out of the LLC to the members. He can retain profits for the reasonable needs of the company. Now, this is a really important clause in the charging order protection that we've been talking about. Because in theory, in charging order protection, the manager is still going to be the manager. And in this situation, he can declare profits, which means you get to pay tax, and yet no money is actually distributed out of the company in order to allow you to pay the tax. That becomes a very uncomfortable position for members to be in, particularly for someone who has a charging order against a member's interest. We're not going to go into that in great detail now, but this becomes very important in protection of the company if one of the members gets in trouble. 6.10 says that the LLC is a pass-through entity for tax purposes, and that's going to be true in all cases except if you choose to have your LLC taxed as a C corporation. Then it's not going to be a pass-through entity. So obviously you're going to have to take this clause out if you want it taxed as a C corporation. But like 90% of the LLCs are not taxed as C corporations. They're taxed as a sole proprietor, partnership, S corp, some other way. And in fact, in 6.11, we're saying that we're going to have this one taxed as an S corporation. Now, just because you say it in your operating agreement doesn't mean you don't have to file all the forms with the IRS. You still have to file the forms with the IRS. Now, obviously, if you're going to have your LLC taxed as something other than an S corporation, this clause is going to have to come out as well. Now, if your accountant is in on the decision of how your LLC is going to be taxed, that's great. But make him justify why he is having it taxed the way he says he wants it taxed. You need the information to do that so he just doesn't get a free pass, because I see a lot of people who are very sad and they come to me and they say, well, our accountant said we needed to do this, and the accountant was just flat out wrong. The tax forms specifically get a little tricky if you're trying to interface your company with your living revocable trust. Your living revocable trust should actually own the interests in the LLC, so your family doesn't have to probate the company after you die. Your company may well be your largest asset at the time you die. And if it's tied up in probate for years, the company's going to go under. It's going to go down, guys. So we have to prevent that. Companies are actually the biggest probate mess. You've got to structure the ownership of your company to keep the company out of probate when you die. And by the way, if you're taxing your LLC as a subchapter S corporation, then you have to have a special type of living revocable trust. It's called a subchapter S qualified trust. And that trust is going to own the membership interests or the stock in the LLC or the actual S corporation. If you don't have a sub S qualified trust, then the IRS is going to come back in and set aside your tax election. You're going to be taxed as a C corporation, and that's really going to screw things up.